Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, OMG, I'm Freaking Out, where we have some earth-shaking revelations. And we have our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 57. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
So we want to hear what's been going on with your week. How old is your baby now?
She's 29 weeks, which is about 6 3/4 weeks or so.
Okay.
And yeah, she's making some serious progress towards crawling.
Oh, really?
And she's getting close and getting frustrated as hell.
Oh.
She's just trying so hard and getting so frustrated and screeching and moaning. And I'm just like, oh, please, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I get the sense that she's going to be a happier baby when she is mobile.
Mm-hmm.
She's just so desperate to move. And my dreams of her just being a little tiny, like, baby standing and running continue. Because I just, like, have this sense that she's a kid that wants to be on the move, run, etc.
She needs to be free.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think she wants to break free. I think that's what it is. And she's also really close to sitting on her own. Like, I can plop her in the sitting position and she'll stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, from being on all fours to kind of, she kind of gets over onto her butt, but then is kind of just leaning on her side and doesn't know how to push all the way up to sitting. So that frustrates her too. So there's just a lot of frustration going on with Cece this week.
It seems like that's a really hard thing to get from tummy time to getting on your butt.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is. There's a lot of different steps involved.
Yeah, because my guy, I can plop him down on his butt, and he's actually pretty good at sitting, too. Like, I still sort of have a bit of a watchful perimeter around him, you know? I'll like mm-hmm. to do it in sort of the well of my legs. But yeah, I mean, he is so far from being able to push up on his own. And I wonder, like, am I supposed to be plopping him on his butt? Or is it like a thing where I feel like Rye is very big in, Rye is R-I-E, the resources for infant educators, that it's a parenting method we both like, but I feel like one of the things they're into is like not putting kids in positions they can't get into by themselves, right?
Yeah, 100%. You're not supposed to put them on their butt. You're not supposed to, I think, even put them in tummy time. Like they
what?
Say
really?
They'll roll there and get there on their own. And I love a lot of aspects of Rye, the respectful parenting. Well, that is supposedly respectful too, not putting them in positions that they're not able to get in. But I've found that impractical, especially with a baby that does not want to be in one position, wants to experience things from a different vantage.
Totally.
I put
think
her
it's
in all these positions.
For you to acknowledge that she yearns to be free and she needs to be in different positions.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not, you know, I'm loose with my parenting philosophies. That's one thing I'm a little bit like, yeah, you know, you take some, you leave some.
Yeah.
That's one that I leave. And she's been fine. Her development has not been hindered in any way because I haven't allowed her to do that. But I think that one reason you wouldn't want to put them in a position they aren't able to get in yet, etc., is that in a way you're taking away their discovery. Like they have one chance in life to discover getting to their tummy for the first time and doing it themselves and being like, wow, this is, you know, what being on my tummy is, and this is rolling over. And when we push them to do that, or when we're playing with them when they're older and we have parent-led play as opposed to letting them naturally play and we just observe, it's kind of like we push things on them, not even push, but introduce things to them when they could discover it on their own and have that moment of, wow, this is me getting on a swing.
Uh-huh.
From their philosophy, we take that away from them if we plop them on the swing.
I can sort of see that being a lot more practical with an older kid who has, like, a, you know, a whole playground of possibilities. But mm-hmm. when you have, like, a tiny infant who literally can't move off of the playmat, it feels a little bit less, like,
mm-hmm.
about trying to get them to experience it on their own versus, like, holy shit, I have the whole afternoon with this baby.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of it's about me, like, what can we do to fill the time?
Yeah.
Okay, sit on your butt now.
My guy is very susceptible to, like, change of scenery. Like, if he starts getting fussy, I'm like, now we're going to go look out the window. And he's like, okay, wow, this is totally different, you know?
That's so cute. Same. And so many pediatricians recommend tummy time. Let them build their strength. Let them develop those muscles. So I'm going with that. So.
Yeah, I think the consensus is fairly in on tummy time.
Yes, I agree. And then the other thing is a little update to our early morning wakings, which I talked about. Yeah, they're not improving.
Oh, no.
But the
main reason, oh, no.
The main reason is now she has started, like clockwork, pooping at 5 a.m.
Oh, come on, Cece. Come on. That's rude.
Which, of course, wakes her up and yada, yada, yada. And so the way we've been addressing this is actually Steve's been really, really great about being on this part of the baby duty. So the way we've been dealing with this, and Steve's been handling a lot of this, so thank you, Steve, I love you, is that he's been waking up with her, changing that poopy diaper, putting her back in bed, and she does sleep a little while longer, usually until
about
6. Oh,
really? So she actually goes back to bed? Because I would think, like, oh, man, that ship has sailed if it's 5:30.
Yes, and sometimes I do, which is why he's better at this job than me, mm-hmm. because he is much better at hearing her cry a little bit while she works back to sleep.
Yeah.
Whereas the anxiety kills me, and I will give in and just be like, oh, forget it. We're just getting up and starting the day at 5:30, and then everyone's miserable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's better that we just put her back in bed, let her cry it out for like 5 to 10 minutes, and she goes back to sleep, and then everyone starts the day a little bit happier.
That's nice. Plus, you're setting that sort of 6 a.m. goal, right?
So yes.
In theory, someday she may not be pooping every day at 5:30 in the morning.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is. And she might just remember that 6 a.m. is the time.
Yes, that is what I'm hoping. And the stuff I've been reading online is maybe you can adjust your solids feeding time. Because I've been feeding her solids around dinner time,
mm-hmm.
usually just once a day. And so maybe that's contributing to the early morning pooping. Maybe. I don't know. So I'm going to try switching it to lunch. I've done that like once this week. And so I'm going to see if that helps. Fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted. I know, if only there was a way for you to keep us posted every week on your progress.
I know. Maybe I will send a carrier pigeon with notes to all our listeners.
Great idea.
Okay, good. What about you? What's going on with you guys this week?
Well, my baby is 25 weeks old, which is 5 months and change. It's easy for us to figure out because our babies are about a month apart. So it's like five months and 3 weeks-ish. So he is coming up onto his 6-month birthday, but he hasn't quite gotten there yet. But he is sitting like a pro these days, like I mentioned earlier. He just in the last week, really, or even in the last couple days, has just gotten very stable in the sitting position. Obviously, when you plop him down, he's not anywhere close to getting himself in that position. But it's opened up a world of possibilities for us because I've realized that now I can put him in high chairs in restaurants.
Oh, isn't that great?
It's so awesome. Although I'm a little like nervous still. So I went to lunch after Mommy and Me class and there were 6 women and we all had our babies with us. So like it was like a stroller apocalypse. And I was like, oh, wait, my baby sits really great now. So like maybe I should try a high chair. So mm-hmm. I got one out and I put him in it and lo and behold, he sat really well in it. He loved being at the table with us.
Oh,
he just loved
looking
around. Being able to see
everything going on. Oh,
I got him a little side of avocado that he could nom on while, you know, while we were all eating. And yeah, he totally loved it. I did keep one hand on him the whole time, though, because he's still tiny. Like, he's 10th percentile in weight and like 50th in height. He's just like a little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, those high chairs are meant for like what, up to like 2 years old or something. They've got big leg holes. And I'm just like not 100% trusting that they're really stable for him. So, but it is fun to like get him out of the stroller and get him up.
Oh, you know what? A tip that I do sometimes when I put her in the high chair and it all feels like too spacious and I get really nervous about her like flailing around is if I have one, I'll roll up a blanket or like, you know, one of those muslin blankets or something and put it behind her back or anything I have that can kind of like push her forward a little bit so she's not kind of just flailing around in that cavernous smart. High chair.
Yeah, I should do that because I always have those muslin swaddle blankets that you never use as swaddles. Like they call
never.
They're forever. They're burp cloths. They're like nursing covers. They're blankets. Mm-hmm. They're floor coverings. They are not swaddles. I mean, maybe someone uses them for swaddles. I don't know.
But I don't know. Maybe.
But I always have at least one, sometimes two, in my bag. So I will start doing that. You know, I could probably use my baby carrier too. You could even probably clip it in, like add extra. With the like the buckles, yeah. No, that's a good idea. I'll have to start doing that. So because I see a lot of high chairs.
He'll outgrow it soon and be just fine in that thing. But for now, a little transition thing.
That's cool. Yeah, that's great. That's a great tip, Shauna.
Thanks.
Been there, done that, mom. So the other cool thing about him being a great sitter is that we've upgraded to the big boy stroller.
Oh, also fun.
So fun. So, you know, what I mean by that for people who maybe aren't at this stage yet or don't have a baby and don't understand. So I've been using the stroller basically as a frame to click the car seat into, and you'd be like, move the baby, still clipped into the car seat. You clip them into the car, and then you clip them into the stroller, and they're always in the car seat. Mm-hmm. And it's really convenient when they're tiny. Oh my gosh, it's the best. Like, it's the best thing to have a stroller frame that you can just click that car seat into.
Oh yeah.
But now that they're getting bigger and they want to be moving around and they want to be like more upright and seeing the world, we've ditch the car seat, we leave it in the car, and we just put him in a stroller, like a normal big boy stroller.
Aww, big boy stroller.
So cute, and he loves it. He's a little, still a little bit swimming in it. Because again, it's a stroller that, you know, goes up to age like 3 or 4. And he's just this little guy. But it's so fun, cute. And he loves it. He just, he's like watching the world. He gets really pensive. Mm-hmm. On walks, but he's just like soaking it all in. So I'm so happy. And the other cool thing is it's a lot cooler than being in the car seat, and it is summer now.
Yes.
So he's not as sweaty in the big boy stroller. So that's his sort of the benefits of being able to sit up are huge. In my opinion.
Absolutely. It's so much to see. And I've noticed that one thing I've done with Cece, because she's able to do that too, is put her in shopping carts in grocery stores and Target.
Shopping carts. That's right.
Yes.
I didn't remember that those existed. Like, that's just where you put your eggs, I thought.
No. And they're so fun for babies because they have the, you got to make sure you have the one with the buckle and tighten it up. And it kind of just holds them there. Like, they can't even, like, really bend forward because you get it tight enough and stroll them around. Oh my God. She loves it. And you get a lot of attention because you've got a tiny, adorable baby in the front of a shopping cart and you're walking around and they're just like looking at everyone and smiling. We got so much attention at Trader Joe's. It was fun because, you know, I'm just a cooped up mom working at home. I don't see anyone in the world. So we go out shopping. I put that baby up there and I'm like, hello. Hi,
put that
everybody.
Baby on display.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's my social life these days.
I mean, I am guilty of wanting to show my baby off. Like, I love going on walks with him and, like, especially putting him in those little sunglasses.
And, yeah.
Like, I love when people stop and are like, oh my God. Oh my God, that's a cute baby. I'm like, yes, he is. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I made that one.
Oh, I know it is. It's really fun.
So the one other thing that I want to check in about this week is, so if you recall, we did sleep training. Sleep training went great. And now we needed to move on to nap training. But my problem was that there's all this construction going on at my house, right? And it was freaking crazy. So I didn't know if I'd be able to do nap training, but the plumbers have dug all these holes around the house, and it's like, it's a long story, but the point that there were like days where they were jackhammering under the house. I actually took an audio. Actually, should we play it? Should we play the audio so you can hear the insanity? Okay.
Yes.
So this is the sound of the, I don't know if they were jackhammering or drilling or what, but they had to connect some pipes from the garage conversion down into like underneath our house. So they were like literally right underneath our house doing this while I was trying to get the baby to nap. So this is what's going on in my house right now. Directly underneath my bedroom. So, baby naps. Going great. Going great.
Oh my God, Laura, that sounds like a nightmare.
It was definitely unpleasant, but the good news is that that happened for like the beginning of the week. And then I got a message from our contractor saying that all the work was done, but there wasn't going to be any more work done for a week because the inspectors had to come and they like couldn't figure out the schedule, blah, blah, blah. Oh. So that was my cue to be like, all right, nap training starts immediately, because I knew I would have a week of quiet. So we started nap training, which is just like sleep training, but with naps.
Ooh.
So it's the same thing. You do like the pop-ins, you put the baby down awake and you do the pop-ins, and you know, it's harder actually in a lot of ways because they're not necessarily as tired as they are at night. Mm-hmm. So we've had sort of a mixed bag. We've had some naps where he goes down no problem, and some where he cried for like 27 minutes on one of them. Ugh, it was horrible. But then he ended up sleeping for like 40, so I was like, is this even worth it? Mm-hmm. But I think I'm seeing progress. He seems to be crying less and less, and he is sleeping in his crib, so taking that as a win, at least for the first two naps of the day. Because before this, I was boobing him to nap for every nap because he wouldn't go down by himself. So at least even if they're short naps, I have a little bit of free time.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping it improves. And next week, I'll be sure to update. I think it can take like 2 or 3 weeks with nap training. So
okay. Is he on 3 naps a day? What's his schedule?
Yeah, he's on 3 naps a day. We're doing taking care of babies, of course. We've done that with everything. And she does these, you know, like the first wake window is 2 hours, and then it's like 2.5 to 3 hours for the rest of the wake windows. Mm-hmm. So it works out to 3 naps. Sometimes you have to take a little cat nap around like 4:30 to make sure you can make it to bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're working on it. I don't know. I mean, it's like I said, it's a mixed bag. Some, like, there have been a couple really good naps. One day he actually napped for 2 hours.
Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. That's
I did not
amazing.
Know what to do with myself. And then like the next day he cried for like 20 minutes and then slept for 35. So we'll see.
Well, he'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. So that's what's going on in my week, but at least it was quiet and there was no drilling.
Yeah. So that must have been really nice. I hope that when the drilling or whatever sounds return, he isn't like, screw nap training, time to party.
Yeah, I know. Me too. It's interesting too, because our backyard is like a death trap right now.
Oh, no.
And that's like, so I'm kind of been holed up at home because leaving the house and coming, like going back to my car is kind of a pain.
Because you have to walk through your backyard to get to your car.
Exactly. My backyard is like mounds of dirt piled up from where they dug out for the drainage pipes. And we have a gate that we go out that is like completely off its hinges. So you have to like really like pull up on it to get it out. I took a little video. So I'll put that on Instagram, a little video tour of the insanity that's going on in my backyard.
Oh man.
But yeah, things are in flux. Things are in flux over here.
Mm-hmm.
But it should all lead to good things.
That's what I'm already visualizing how great it's all going to be.
It's a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
The outside construction is a metaphor for his nap construction, right?
Let's hope his nap construction doesn't take as long as the construction of that unit.
Right? And also maybe not as expensive.
Yes.
Anyway, that's all I've got this week.
All right. Well, shall we move on after this break?
Let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works.
Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is OMG, I'm freaking out. Ah, one of our classic segments that we have decided to resurrect now that we are new parents. Laura, what do you have for us this week?
Oh, all right. This is a big one. I am freaking out about what the hell do you do with a baby during an earthquake?
which is very relevant to us living in Southern California and having lived through one recently.
Two recently.
Oh, yeah. I only felt one of those, but yeah.
Oh, really? That's so interesting. So you might have heard in the news there were two pretty big earthquakes northeast of Los Angeles in some place called Ridgecrest. And the first one was, what, 6.7 in the high sixes. And then about 30 hours later, there was another one that was bigger, a 7.1.
That's the one I felt.
Yeah. And what's interesting is I actually felt the smaller one a little more. And there's all this stuff. If you follow Dr. Lucy Jones on Twitter, she's super interesting. But she talks about, like, the direction of the movement and which way the fault is facing and, like, how it affects who feels what. You know, because there are people down – our friend Crystal – was down in Torrance or something. I always forget exactly where she lives, but she lives like on the west side, way south. And her husband posted a video of her pool sloshing.
What?
And I like barely felt the second one. Uh-huh. But what I'm freaking out about is the first one, I was nursing the baby. And so we were like on the couch and I was nursing the baby and I was like, what's happening? And it was a long one. It was like very rolly. It was very like gentle rolling, but like still the house was moving. Mm-hmm. It made you kind of like feel seasick. And by the time I thought to do anything, it was over. So I was like, all right, I guess that's that.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it must have been big because I got a text message immediately from my dad, who lives in Fresno, which is 300 and some miles away from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Immediately, my dad says, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, why? He's like, earthquake. And I was like, you felt that? And it turns out that the Central Valley felt the earthquake too. Oh, wow. So I was like, oh, shoot, that must have been a big one.
Mm-hmm.
But I was nursing for that one and it was okay. The next one was later at night. And I was home alone. I was actually editing the podcast when it happened. And my baby was sleeping in his crib, having been sleep trained. He was very calmly sleeping in his crib. And I was sitting there at my computer, and suddenly I started feeling the shaking. And it was kind of like shimmy, 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 shimmy. And I was like, oh, what do I do? And I kind of froze. And I realized, like, I know what to do with myself during an earthquake. Like, if I had just been alone, I would have just knee-jerk reaction, gotten down underneath the dining table and, like, braced. Mm-hmm. But I was frozen, staring at the baby monitor, trying to figure out what the hell I'm supposed to do. Because you're not supposed to run into other rooms during an earthquake.
Right.
But am I supposed to just leave my baby sleeping in his crib? Like, what am I supposed to? So anyway, I Googled it.
Please tell us, because I'm at a loss for words. I don't know. It doesn't really help.
Oh, what did you do? So tell me about how you felt it, the earthquake.
Oh, I felt it. It was probably the biggest one I've ever felt living in Southern California for 15 years. And I had just left, actually, my older girl's room. I was putting her to bed and I closed the door and felt it. And at first, I didn't know what it was. I never do. I always think it's like, I don't know. I'm like, God, I think I'm going to faint. And then like 5 seconds later, I'm like, oh, I know what this is. So I opened the door and went back in because I knew she was going to feel it. And her curtains were swaying back and forth. And she said, Mama, why is my bed moving?
Oh,
I know. And I was like, oh, my God, she doesn't know the concept of earthquakes yet. Like,
oh, shoot.
I don't think I should introduce that to her right at this moment.
Right before bed.
Right before bed. Oh, my God. This
Sweet
is kind
dreams,
of a
hun.
Yes.
So sometimes the earth just moves and sometimes it makes the house fall down on you. Have a good night.
Night, night. So yeah, this is kind of a mom confession, actually. I was like, it's because I was stepping really hard on the floor. I think it kind of like made the bed shake.
Ooh.
Ugh, and she bought it, and I felt really, really bad about lying to her. But we sat there like and felt it move and sway for probably like 20 seconds. It was really long.
Well, and you were much closer to the epicenter where you live in LA, because you live in like the north end of the LA basin. So you were much closer.
Yeah, that is true. But the baby, I forgot about the baby. The baby was sleeping in a crib. Yeah. And especially, what do you do when you have two kids? What if I was home alone with two kids? Who would I run to? What do I do? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's so messed up. Okay, so I did some Googling because no one has ever told me, like, I feel like in Los Angeles, this should be part of your, like, prenatal care class, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, if there's an earthquake, do this. But no one tells us. So, okay, this is what shakeout.org says. how to drop, cover, and hold on with an infant. It says, a parent or caregiver should carefully pick up the baby in their arms, holding the child against their chest, and carry them as they drop, cover, and hold on. The adult will provide additional protection above and on either side of the child. This is a bit easier with infants who are not crawling yet.
Whoopsie.
But the adult can still provide protection to an older child either by crouching over and therefore surrounding the child with their body or using an arm to pull the child up next to an adult, holding them in place. So you're supposed to like crouch around them. But that doesn't answer what you do if they're in the other room in their freaking crib.
If they're in their other in the other room. Yeah. What are you supposed to run to them?
I don't know. I can't find an answer. Like I literally can't find an answer. And I actually like tweeted about it thinking someone might be able to answer and I haven't heard any responses. So I'd love to hear, is there any one of our listeners who actually knows? Because there's a lot of misinformation. I was talking to a bunch of friends after the earthquake and a bunch of people were like, oh, I ran right outside. And I was like,
no,
not supposed to do that. Definitely no, not.
That I do know.
Yeah. A lot of people are like, oh, I would run right outside. I'm like, that is not good. And then other people are like, oh, stand under the doorway, which is what I was taught as a kid, but that's outdated now. The door frame, you know? So, and then there's this whole like triangle of life thing that's apparently a complete hoax where you're supposed to like crouch next to like a bed or something. If you're supposed to stay in bed if there's an earthquake during in bed. But what if your baby is in the freaking crib? Anyway, the one thing I will say is that I am vigilant about not having anything that hangs over my bed or the baby's crib.
Oh, no, no, no.
And to the point where I think, you know, like there was some point where Corey was like, oh, we could hang like these really lightweight canvas prints above our bed. And he was like, if they fall, they're not going to hurt us. But I'm like, nope, nope, nothing. Nothing that can fall. And I'm really glad about that.
No, that's why wall decals are really fantastic.
Exactly. Wall decals. We both have wall decals in our nurseries, which are awesome. I love the wall decals. I think have we posted pictures of those? I feel like we should. They're really cute. Yeah, yeah. Mine are like rock and roll and like music notes, and you have this adorable rainbow thing.
Little happy cloud.
Yeah. So I'm all about the decals. So it did make me feel good about that. I will say also eerily, the day before the earthquake, I was securing some stuff around the house. I had like a Nest Cam that I just had sitting on top of a box instead of being mounted on the wall. So I like mounted it on the wall. And I said to Corey, I was like, did you secure all the furniture? And he was like, yeah, everything except for this one. We have like one of those tall Kallax, you know, cubicle things from IKEA. And he was like, oh, that thing's so heavy, it would take a really big earthquake to knock it over. And I was like, really getting kind of pissy about it. I was like, no, you need to do it. He's like, and he was definitely like, chill out, you know, you're being paranoid. And I was like, no, we need to secure it. And then the next day there was a big earthquake. And I was like, see?
Oh.
See? It didn't fall, you know, it wasn't close enough, but I need to.
But I think that if it's a piece of furniture that's big and heavy enough that it's gonna take a big earthquake, like that's definitely the one you want to anchor because that's the one that's gonna kill you.
Exactly. So that needs to happen ASAP. One problem we have is like you have to find the right wall anchors and all that stuff, and it's in the baby's room, and the baby like sleeps 12 hours and then he naps a lot, and then when I'm home alone with him, I can't do it while he's playing in the other room. I can't like get out a screwdriver. I should hire a handyman. You're right.
Do it.
I should do that.
I should take my own advice. We need to anchor almost all of our furniture.
Oh, really?
Steve, during the earthquake, my husband Steve, you know what he did? Did he drop and cover? No. He ran over to the TV and held it in place.
I was
going
to say, did he run over to the TV? Oh, my God. I will say, that was the first thing Corey anchored. When I was like, we need to get an anchoring kit. He's like, you're right. That TV. We need to protect the TV.
Priority.
He is a TV writer. It's an important tool of his trade. Oh, man. But anyway, I would love to hear from listeners if you actually know what the hell we're supposed to do, because it might actually come in handy. Like, do I run into the baby's room and scoop him up? Is he safer? Maybe he's safer in his crib. I don't know.
Tell us. Hopefully we'll find out. Tell us. Teach us.
Anyway, that is what I'm freaking out about. Shauna, what are you freaking out about?
Okay, so I know that we are not supposed to get hung up on milestones. Like, Dr. Robert Hamilton in our interview with him even was like, don't worry about milestones. Every baby is different.
That's right. He did say that.
He did. And I really hooked on to that. But apparently, it hasn't sunk in quite enough because I've been a little bit freaked out recently that Cece is not babbling as much as I think she should, or maybe I should say as much as my first daughter was at this point. So I think this might be like me comparing my daughters.
But yeah, that must be hard because L is your frame of reference, right? For what babies do.
Yes. Right? And the funny thing is I remember Steve and I worried about L not babbling enough. Like I actually have on video of her at like 5 months. It's a picture of her, and she's like, bah, 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 bah. And Steve says, huh, just yesterday I was worried she wasn't babbling enough. And so, like a light switch, she was just like, the next day I was like, blah, 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 blah. So that probably will happen with Cece. It's just she's almost 7 months now. And when she was 5 months, she was saying things like, nay, 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 gang, gang, gang. And then it stopped.
Interesting. Well, here's what I will say is that at my Mommy and Me class, they talked about language development. And one thing that my teacher said was that they will, like, do a thing and then conquer it and then stop. Because they're like, I'm done with that.
So interesting.
Maybe she's, like, already, like, past it. She's over it.
She might be over it.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, she is very, very motivated to move her body. So maybe all her energy and all her mental energy is going towards learning to crawl and sit and do all of those things. And she's like, who needs to talk? Like, especially because she's got a very chatty older sister. She's like, that girl will do all the talking.
Yes. Yes, she can't get a word in edgewise.
Except when she shrieks.
Shrieking. I mean, that's, she's doing her best to interrupt.
Oh, she's so cute. But I'm like, deep down and intellectually, I think I know that it's fine. But I do want to keep an eye on it, you know, because if she does need any kind of intervention, I'm willing to do that. And I'm willing to give her extra support in that way. But it is something I'm keeping my eye on for sure. Is your baby doing any kind of like consonants, babbling?
Not really. He was very into gagoo for a while.
That's cute.
There was a lot of gagoo, which is like so stereotypical, like such a basic, like such a basic baby.
Gaga goo goo.
But it wasn't gaga goo goo. It was gagoo. But there's not really babas, mamas. I mean, I think he's not yet 6 months, so I think he's still a little on the younger side for those kind of consonants. There's a lot of like diphthongs, a lot of like ow, or like yeah,
lots of vowels. That's good.
Lots of vowels, but yeah, no, he's not really doing the babbling thing either yet. So I do think it's so hard. I'm always googling like the milestones, because you want it, like, it's this weird double-edged sword, right? Where you're like, on one hand, if your baby is excelling, you're like, ha, I knew it. My baby's so smart. And then if there's anything they're not doing, you're like, oh my God, something's definitely wrong with my baby. And
oh yeah, definitely.
I always try to remember that comparison is the thief of joy. And we have to let our babies develop on their own, you know? And also, it's important to remember that, you know, even if something is quote unquote wrong, if they're developing at a different speed, you know, that we need to remember that ableism is a real thing, right? Like, so if my baby doesn't end up babbling, if he does have some kind of, you know, developmental delay that impairs speech, I'm not going to love him any less.
Exactly.
You know? So it's just important to just keep an eye on it. But I think she's probably doing just fine. And she's just really focused on getting those knees under her and like, ugh, she's got to crawl. She's going to do it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. She really is so focused on that. So she's probably like, why would I want to like take time to sit and talk to you when I need to figure out crawling?
Well, and I also think it must have to do with personality, right? Like some people are talkers, some people are chatty, and some people are not, you know?
She could be more reserved.
Yeah.
Well, it's exciting to see. Like when you think about it that way, it's exciting to see like how is the personality going to develop? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll see. I'll just have to sit and wait and watch and I don't know. I keep you updated via Messenger Pigeon.
Messenger Pigeon that shit.
I will.
Okay. You want to take a break and do some deep breathing and then come back for
Yes.
Final segment? All right.
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. So we close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
BFP, baby!
Yes, yes!
Oh, man. Okay, so this baby has started giving kisses!
Oh, come on! That's so cute!
Oh, my God. This is one of my absolute favorite things that Elle did when she was a baby, and Cece started doing it, too. It's like an open mouth kiss. It's like that. Like she just kind of like plants her face on my face and like her mouth is open. And she, honestly, she's probably just trying to teethe on my cheek. But, you know, I'm going to go with it because I think it is so cute and so sweet. And I love it. And I just like want her baby kisses all over my face. I love it.
How much drool do you end up with?
Oh, so much drool. I don't care. My drool tolerance has gotten so high. It's just like, give me all the drool. Give me all the baby kisses.
Oh, that's so cute. I love snuggles. I mean, like, I'm just so into. I feel like my baby, he's sucker fishes on various parts of your body all the time.
It's like baby hickeys.
Yeah, I actually have a picture of him sucker fishing onto your face. when we were at the Huntington Gardens a few weeks ago.
Love
but
it.
I don't think he thinks of them as kisses. Like, I don't think they're affection yet. They're mm-hmm. just like, I would like to eat this.
Yes. Like, yes, totally.
But yeah, it's so cute. I mean, just like any excuse to snuggle, basically.
Yes, yeah, snuggles. Baby snuggles are the best.
Baby snuggles.
What about you? What do you have for us this week?
I also have a BFP.
Yay!
It's a product, shock Ooh. Of all shocks, that I got on Amazon.
Ooh.
More shocking news.
You shop at Amazon? I didn't know.
What? Do I shop anywhere else? Like, how would you get shit done? I don't know how people got shit done without Amazon. Like, I can't remember. I was alive before Amazon.
Were we? I mean, did we even exist before Amazon? I don't think so.
If a tree falls in the forest,
exactly.
Will Amazon prime it in 2 days? So we got this thing that was recommended by the Mommy and Me teacher that she uses in every class, and it's called the Gazillion Bubbles Hurricane Machine.
Oh, I know about this. Tell
and
us,
it's
though.
A bubble machine, like, on steroids. It doesn't look, it's like, I want to say it's like about the size of my breast pump. Like, uh-huh. It's like maybe like smaller than a basketball,
yeah.
Let's say. And you put the bubble juice in the well and you turn it on. It takes 6 AA batteries. So it's like got power behind it.
Yes.
And then it rotates, you know, it has a fan that goes and rotates the little wands around. But it puts out so many fucking bubbles.
It's so good.
It's such a good machine. And mm-hmm. it was recommended especially because the bubble solution isn't sticky and doesn't leave a residue. So it's actually okay for using indoors.
Oh,
that's what they use at the Mommy and Me class.
That's clever. I didn't know that.
And it doesn't sting if it gets in your eyes either. Mm-hmm. The Mommy and Me teacher says she like always tests by like letting one pop in her eye. Which
so
is putting herself on the front lines for these babies.
Oh, sacrifice.
But it's awesome. And so I of course have a video. I'll put it on our Instagram of the bubble machine. And we sing like the bubble songs, like there are bubbles in the air. Like we have like this whole song.
Oh, that's so cute.
We
I should try that with the baby. I haven't
yeah.
even thought of like showing her bubbles. Cause of course, like I'm like, yes, we had this for like the older kid at her birthday party and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, oh yeah, I could do that for the baby too.
I mean, he's fascinated by them. And it's fun for the whole family. The cats love it too.
There you go.
So, but the real key is, you know, bubbles. Like everyone knows about bubbles. But this machine, it puts them out like in massive quantities. And then it's not sticky, slippery, or leaving a residue on the floor. So it's cool for using indoors. So
awesome.
Gazillion Bubbles Hurricane Machine. I will post a link to that, of course, on our website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. We will also post all kinds of information and photos and stuff on our socials, which is at BFP Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you're interested, we have a Facebook community group. It's a closed group, so you have to ask to get approved. So just ask to join and I will approve you. And that way you can privately talk with other BFP fans and you can ask all kinds of pregnancy related questions in a very safe and loving environment. I'm loving our community group.
I know, me too.
It's so,
so
great.
Fun to talk to everybody. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, so just search Big Fat Positive Community on Facebook. You'll find it and request to join.
And if you love our show, please consider reviewing and rating us on whatever platform you listen to us. And tell a friend. If you know anyone who's pregnant or a new mom, share the love. Let them know about Big Fat Positive Podcast.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks, everyone. See you next week.
See ya. Bye.